Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your
country. We are the last Americans. We are the last Americans. We are the last
Americans.
What's up, dude?
Oh, yeah.
What up? I'm just laughing reading these comments here because, hey, everybody, we are live on YouTube. Flick the like button. Flick it like you mean it. They were saying, shit, we just diddied that like button. So yeah. they pulled a P Diddy on the like button, dude.
Yeah, flick it. You know what I mean? Flick it real good.
Yeah, touch that like button like Epstein did. You know what I mean? Come on, everybody. Oh, no, that's not good.
That might be a little too much.
A little too far. But, yeah, speaking of like buttons, Elon Musk has now hidden what you like on Twitter.
Yes, he is hidden. So you can't see who has liked what, but you can still see the number of likes on any certain post.
Well, it was always funny, like, when you see somebody like the Pope likes like a cleavage picture, like a chick with big tits.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, oh, Pope Francis liked this? You know what I mean? It's always kind of funny when you catch somebody liking something that they're not supposed to.
Well,
but
yeah.
There was actually a video that I wanted you to show because this was pedophiles running rampant now on Twitter, knowing that they can like pictures of kids without Elon Musk or anybody catching them.
That's true. I mean, this is like full, this is exactly what it would be like. So
here they are. Well, not saying that these old people are pedophiles, but I mean, they're pretty much doing the same thing, right?
Click. No one can see what I'm liking.
I like this one so much, I'm going to like it 10,000 times. Like. Yeah.
It's well, good stuff, dude. That's kind of what it is, because I think Elon put out a post here a little while ago. I don't know what time exactly, but he said there was a huge spike in likes on posts. Because now,
after he hit it,
because now it's weird. More of like a anonymous thing, and you can like things without exposing what you're liking.
But it was everybody afraid of exposing what they liked?
Apparently, if there was a big spike in like people liking posts.
Yeah, I bookmarked it so you can show the post there. A massive increase in likes after they were made private. Whoa! Like, yeah. What is the big deal? Is everybody afraid of what they like?
Probably. I mean, it has been in the past. People have brought up, oh, you like this post and you like this post and use it against you.
It's true.
So
Hence the Pope Francis titty picture.
So now there's like some anonymity. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Anonymity,
yeah. On what you're liking and what you're not liking. So it, I guess it gives a little bit more privacy.
But privacy to who? You know, because we used it to kind of narrow in on the creepers. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
Look what this fucking creepo liked, dude. He liked this weird ass picture of a kid. You know what I mean?
True. I guess you can like what you want to like and not be harassed, but at the same time, now you can't pinpoint the people that are being creeps.
Yeah, it's always embarrassing. Like when you're, looking at somebody's profile, you're like, "Oh, who's
then you
this
accidentally
person?
Like it."
Oh shit! I like the picture.
Oh shit!
Oh shit!
And now they got the notification, and you can't take that back. You can unlike it.
You unlike it.
You
and
can.
Then they go,
but,
oh, okay. So they liked it, and then unliked it. Oh, that's weird.
And then it's just weirder. Oh, it just gets weirder, not more awkward.
just gets weirder every single day, everybody. So yeah, for everybody out there, before we get started, you know, we have a Patreon channel, and every Friday we do a call-in show, and it's off the chain because all three of us, Davey Boy's not here today, unfortunately. He's got to wake up super early, but all three of us are on there. You guys get to call in, ask us personal questions, naked or not naked. I mean, sometimes. But lately, we've been getting some new callers.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the new, fresh voices, okay? Because it's always, you know, it's funny, like when somebody picks up the phone, and you go, hello? Who's this? Who is
this? And you're like, you don't recognize them. So you're just like, you're trying to guess, and you're, but you're like, who is this?
Mm-hmm. And every now and then, our buddy Flat Earth Al always calls in and pranks us. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He'll call in with one of his, like, his southern redneck voice or something. Well, he was from he was from Nebraska last time or something, wasn't he?
Yeah. I got a question about that CERN. Is it? Are they opening up portals? What's going on here?
So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I think we've mentioned some, like, maybe some new stuff for Patreon coming down the pipeline, so we're going to be working on some stuff. So
it's going to be fun. Like, I think we have a good show idea, like a completely separate show on Patreon, and I think, I don't know what the cadence would be, maybe like once a month or whatever, but
there's, as of right now, there's no like time frame or how often it will be done, but we're going to throw in something else for you guys too. So
hell yeah. So everybody get on there, join the family, join the fun. Want to hear from you guys, all right?
Yeah.
Moving on into this story that I found this bizarre Jesus Christ childhood revealed. What? Because that's always been the contention, is like, what happened to Jesus? Like, he went from being born, and then he's all of a sudden 33 years old. You know, there's that number again, 33. Mm-hmm. And he's like performing miracles, right?
Yeah. But there's no, so like, experts, there's no, like, in between. There's no, like, all of a sudden he's just there.
Right? It's like, what happened to his childhood? Was this kid not, like, made fun of? Did he, like, do some crazy shit as a kid? You know, was he performing miracles as a child as well? Well, apparently he was.
Oh.
Because experts discover the oldest written record of Jesus Christ's childhood revealing an amazing miracle not in the Bible. They just discovered it on a whim here, it seems like.
All willy-nilly, like.
All willy-nilly, you know. That would be funny if the guy's name was willy-nilly.
Jesus'
willy-nilly
actual name?
Discovered Jesus Christ's childhood.
The guy that discovered it with name was willy-nilly.
Dude.
I thought, like, they discovered Jesus Christ's actual name was willy-nilly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, willy-nilly. I pray to willy-nilly every single night.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I'm just going to, like, skim through this article here. So it says, expert in Germany have uncovered and deciphered a manuscript that has been determined to be the oldest record of Jesus Christ's childhood. CBS News reported this was a 1,600-year-old document that had been stored in a university library in Hamburg, Germany. I just got hungry there for a second. I was thinking about hamburgers.
Hamburger, Germany.
Oh, my God. I'm salivating. But it's been sitting in this freaking library for decades, and it was ignored until these two guys. There was Dr., I'm just going to say, Lejos Burkes, and Professor Gabriel Noche Macedo from Belgium's University of Liège, looked it over and revealed it as the earliest surviving copy of the Infancy Gospel of Thomas, which is a document detailing Jesus Christ's childhood.
Hmm.
So I was wondering, like, how the hell did they just look at this thing and go, whoa, wait a second, we need to now look into it further? Because apparently when they first saw this, they could tell that it was like from the Middle Ages and all this stuff. And it had, like, it was on papyrus. Like, it's that fucking old that it's on, like, papyrus, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they said the words on the documents reveal a remarkable miracle that Jesus performed as a child, where he brought clay figures of birds to life.
What?
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh,
How is that not fucking told?
Right, exactly. Like, how the hell did this not get in the Bible?
Like, okay, you know, like the water to wine and all that shit. But like, now you're just turning dirt into birds.
Yes. You're creating life. You know what I mean?
And it's
like it goes into like this whole homunculus thing where you actually have clay and you create a little tiny man and you bring it to life. It's called a homunculus.
Oh, okay.
Like it's a big thing in the occult. They do things to it to like...
Oh, kind of like a voodoo type thing? Where they make the doll and then they can like manipulate actual beings?
Maybe. But I don't know that
like
much about it.
They make like a clay statue and then somehow it becomes real.
12 sparrows, bro. 12 sparrows of soft clay in the riverbed mud. And his father, Joseph, sees what he's doing. He scolds Jesus and demands to know why he's molding clay on the Sabbath. How dare you, Jesus? Jesus responds by telling the clay figures to take flight as living birds, and they obey his command. Damn, bro.
What? And it's funny because I read a different article about this. I think it was from like Fox or something. And I don't know if it says it in here. But they ignored this thing for a long, long time because the writing on it was so sloppy. They just figured it was just like somebody had wrote down some notes or it was like a grocery list or something. And they were like, this is worthless. There's no point. But for some reason, they saved it.
Right? Like, for some reason. That's what I don't get. It's like, what was like the spark of curiosity or interest that drove your eyeballs to this papyrus?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden
you had it all this time and now all of a sudden you're like, we should probably take another look at this.
Yeah, dude. Here's a quote from Berkes. He says, it was thought to be a part of an everyday document, such as a private letter or a shopping list, because the handwriting seems so clumsy. We first noticed the word Jesus in the text. Then, by comparing it to the numerous other digitized papyri, plural for papyrus, I guess, we deciphered it letter by letter and quickly realized that it could not be an everyday document. And yeah, like you were saying, like they considered it to be insignificant because of how clumsy the handwriting was, I guess.
Yeah.
But this is where it kind of got me, though.
But that doesn't lend... Like, given the explanation of why they decided to go back to it and then look at it letter by letter.
Well, so there's one sentence above this paragraph that says, however, new technology enabled the two men to translate the language on the document and compare it to other early Christian texts. So what I'm thinking is that now we have these AI programs because these things are smarter than human beings. AI programs are becoming smarter, right?
Yeah.
So they can look at something and compare it within like a probability of 99.9, whatever the fuck, and say, this looks like this, and this is what it should mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is a good form of how we should be using these things. We should be using AI as kind of like this stuff to uncover our ancient history and knowledge and stuff, right?
Quick shout out to Ashley Halliburton. She gave us a super chat of $5. Thank you very much for that. She says, I'm calling in this Friday. I got a very personal question to ask you.
Oh, hell yeah. I can't wait. I know it's going to be juicy too, Ashley. Ashley always brings the juicy questions. Always brings them juicy questions. All right. Well, yeah. So they got this new technology that enabled them to read this, like, they thought it was a shopping list. Very poor handwriting. Do you have a picture of it?
Just the one that they have in the fucking, in the top here.
Okay. Because this is what it looks like as far as, I mean, this doesn't look too clumsy to me, but I'm no professional, like, papyri reader here, okay? So it could be whatever.
Yeah, I'll show this one real quick. I'm seeing if I can get a different one up. So this is just what they had showed.
I mean, it does kind of look, it has like that eraser look, like that A and that D right there in the middle.
It definitely looks handwritten.
Yeah.
Like it was just written down, because normally I feel like in like significant documents, it's like very, very perfect, very like intended writing.
Mm-hmm.
And this just kind of looks like somebody jotting shit down.
So, well, yeah, and you guys just talked about it on the last show, like the feather pen.
Yeah.
It was so perfect, right? You couldn't fuck up with it. Like you had to like be so perfect, precise. Thinking about every letter as you like dip the feather pen into the ink and be like, okay, here I go.
Yeah, you had to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find.
Yeah, there's like other articles. There's like a Daily Mail article that might have some pictures on it. So if you click on the light or the blue word that says notes.
Here we go.
Yeah. And see, it's not that big, dude. Like, how would you say that? Like, hot dog bun?
Yeah, if that. Yeah, probably a hot dog. It's not a big piece. It's crazy to me.
Open up a hot dog bun, lay it flat.
It's crazy to me that they got that whole story just from this.
Exactly, dude. And it's like not even the full sentence there. Yeah. You know?
Like, so how did they got a whole story that he went down to the river and he's making birds from dirt and his dad yells at him, "How dare you make birds from dirt on Sabbath?" And then he says, "I command you to fly," and they fly away, and then everyone's like, "Oh." And they got that whole story from this?
Exactly. And that's where I want to see the computer analyze this letter by letter. I want to see the interpretation of the AI algorithm.
So it makes me ask the question, is it, this isn't just like sentences. I'm assuming each one of these either letters or symbols, whatever it is full words, right?
Yeah, either that or several words put together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they went extreme shorthand. You know what I mean? Like,
did they say in this what language this was?
Oh boy, dude, I have no idea. Not off the top of my head, no. But yeah, this is saying they also readdressed the style and language of the gospel in Thomas' text. So I don't know, dude.
It says, there are only a handful of words in the manuscript. So there's only a handful of words.
Greek letters. 13 lines in Greek letters.
Okay.
It came from late Egypt. Very bizarre, dude.
This says in this article, the poor handwriting in the document led Burks to believe the manuscript was made as part of a writing exercise in a monastery or a school. While there are only a handful of words in the manuscript, the researchers were able to determine that it is retelling of the apocryphal story of the vivification of the sparrows. So they only got a handful of words, and they were able to go, "Oh, these words are in this story."
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
And so they probably have like alive, brought, flew away. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to parse this thing together. So that's why I really want to see.
Yeah.
What did this computer come up with, dude? Like, word by word, letter by letter.
I'd like to see like the printout of like what their program actually say.
Well, and dude, I bet you what they're doing right now is, and this would be fascinating if like somebody went on Joe Rogan and was talking about this shit, but like they probably have all of these ancient documents. And they're digitizing them and they're running them through this algorithm. And it's probably just collecting the data and saying like, "Hey, recognize this pattern over and over again. This means, you know, a specific definition. And if you find this symbol anywhere, this means that, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how much is left over from like the Library of Alexandria? I heard all of that stuff's buried in the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how many of these documents that no one can fucking read now because it's either in Latin or Greek, you know what I mean?
Well, there are some people that can read them, but I mean, obviously not to the scale that like a program would be able to, or even at the speed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And think about what they could do to like hieroglyphics or anything that's imprinted in like structures or like the pyramids, like they could go to where they're inscribed in the walls of various, you know, ancient structures.
Yeah. Take a picture of it and then run it through a fucking program and say, "Hey, what is this trying to tell us?"
Dude, there's actually programs. If they go there physically and have like a drone, there's a program on Disney Plus where it's like this Asian dude he only has one leg.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has like one of those mechanical legs, but he's going around exploring all of these old civilizations, and it's like ancient ruins.
Yeah.
And he creates like this topography where he has this drone go over and kind of give
it's
you like, what
it's called
looks like.
LIDAR, I think.
LIDAR. Yeah, he does some sort of LIDAR, radar, whatever the fuck. And he recreates what it should look like. And it's freaking fascinating, dude.
Oh, this, I don't think this recreates what it should look like. I think the LIDAR is a new technology that they're using to, like, they scan over surfaces and then they can tell, they can almost like remove all the foliage and they can tell where man-made pieces are. And then they could say, hey, we need to go over here and check this out because this doesn't look like natural formation.
Yeah, that is what he's using, dude.
Oh, okay.
But he also has like a, like an animated, you know, regeneration program that will allow him to be like, here from the LIDAR mapping, these were the structures, and like from the imprinting of the land, this is kind of what we think it looks like.
Yeah.
And some of these places are just like nuts, dude.
Well, yeah, I've heard that there's like hundreds of miles of civilization that have yet to been to be like excavated or even gone through, and in the fucking Amazon jungle that like we haven't even scratched the surface about how big the civilizations were over there.
Yeah, it's called Lost Cities Revealed with Albert Lin.
Okay.
It's so cool, dude.
I'll have to check that out.
And when I put it on at night, like, my kids just fall asleep, so I love it. I'm like, let's watch some ancient civilization stuff here. Come on, Albert. Let's do it.
I mean, that is the one thing. Like, everybody always gets so scared of, like, what all the new technology could do like the bad effects of like AI and all that stuff, but there is good. Like like the new technology coming out to be able to decipher and just actually figure out what happened in the past and what is the human race's story, and just the ways and being able to find out that information now is crazy.
Dude, I think it's, I think all that shit's going to come out like soon. And I think AI is part of this whole revelatory process. Because, like, you know how, like, the whole Great Awakening, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, it does line up to, like, the precession of the equinox, the frickin' astrology kind of alignments. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that New Age kind of religion movement. It's just, it's, you know, people are saying that that's false. You know, that's, like, a false light religion. It's a false light movement. But it's bizarre how everything's kind of mapping towards coming out. Like, everything's being revealed. Not everything, but you slowly can see how eventually over time, yeah, we're going to be using this program. And then who knows what we're going to find, dude? Like, what if we find something like groundbreaking about ancient civilizations that don't live on this planet?
Well, yeah. Well, you know? I just watched an episode, and Dave actually told me about it on Joe Rogan, the Billy Carson. Is that his name?
Yeah, yeah.
One thing I heard he was talking about is they just discovered, I don't know how, this guy's pretty smart, and I don't know how true this is, or I haven't seen any other documentation about it, but apparently they've discovered on our second chromosome that we have as humans, that on the telomeres of that chromosome, there are caps on both ends. And those, yeah,
there's caps on every telomere, just to, for or whatever,
but they figured out that those were placed there, like 2,000 years ago. By some,
they're not
by
naturally,
some,
they're,
out,
not,
they're not naturally there, and apparently that's what keeps us from living past 120 years old.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, and he like equated all that shit to the Bible.
Yeah,
like,
and stuff, like how, you know, all like these people curses. Lived for hundreds or thousands of years, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, somebody manipulated our genome and put caps on how long we can live.
Yeah, because originally, like, the Anunnaki created us. This is per whatever Billy Carson, right?
Yeah,
he was saying that the Anunnaki created us to become like the slave race.
Yeah,
so human beings were created to be slave labor, right? To dig up their gold or to dig up whatever, right?
Yeah, and he was saying they had they ended up doing that, so we couldn't live long enough to figure out what we are. What our real purpose is, and then rise up to be more powerful than they are.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I don't want to self-promote or anything, but if you go to Strange Sauna TikTok and watch the video that I created, I made a clip of this, and this absolutely blew my mind. Billy Carson was talking about a scientific discovery, and it's real. Like, I looked this shit up, and this actually fucking happened. Where this guy translated, like, a digital file, like, you know, it could be an ebook with pictures, even video.
Yeah.
You translate that into a set of ones and zeros, kind of like binary code, like the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Then you decipher that, or you code that as ATCG, like your DNA structure, right? They put that onto a single cell of DNA, or a single drop of DNA, or something like that, right?
Oh,
they
entwined
this, right?
I so heard them talking about this, and that's actually real?
Yes. But the amazing fact is that he took the DNA and then did it backwards and then got the files on a computer.
Oh, fuck.
So it's like, if we have history written in our bodies, dude, and what if things that we do in our lives, like alcohol, drugs, miracle medicine,
all,
that they mandate...
It's all documented in our bodies?
What if it's meant to destroy history? You know what I mean? Because if we have the history, every human being has the history of, like, what happened and, like, who we are, and, like, all we need to do is discover on how to unwind it and put it onto a computer so we can read it. Don't know, dude.
And now we've figured out how to do that?
Well, what if? I don't know.
Well,
because, like, this guy, he purposefully knew where the files were on the DNA, right?
Yeah.
So he could be like, okay, here's the structure of DNA. And I don't know if he put that DNA into a living animal, okay, or just this, like, a petri dish.
Mm.
But if it was in a living animal, you know what I mean? Like, think about that. What if they took a drop of your DNA and they found a whole book on there? And be like, dude, we found a book written in your body. And you're like, what? It's talking about
regardless if you could even, like, if you end up, there's so many, like, cells, like, it'd be impossible to like go through and find shit, I imagine.
But what if it's in every single cell? What if it's in every single bit
just
of,
like,
DNA, no matter what?
Into everything?
Because that's what he said that the scientist did, is replicated that the file like 80 billion times or something.
That reminds me of the scene in Jurassic Park when the dinosaur is like walking and then the light shines on him weird and you can see all the ones and zeros on his skin.
See?
Yeah.
What if they're telling us that shit, dude? Truth through movies, you know?
Can you imagine, like, if that was just in the future, that's just the way to store data?
That's what he was saying.
Like,
that's what Billy Carson said.
Anything you would want to hold on to or pass on to generations, you could literally just imprint on yourself.
Not only that, but it solves the whole storage problem, because, like, these big data servers for, like, Google and all that shit, massive.
Now you don't need these huge fucking areas of acres and acres and acres of building to store in these fucking servers when you could just do it on a fucking cell.
Or a human being. He'll just turn human beings into storage devices.
Oh, yeah, because that'd be great. Because then now you just got a like incubator full of fucking test tube babies there for just data harvesting.
Well, what if that's what the whole freaking jib jab was, dude? Put that technology in us, make us hard drives. I don't know. We got to store the data. There's so much data. Like, what do you do with all of it? Where do you store it?
I don't know. Well,
but how do you get it out, though? You know,
if it would take was a one cell of a body. Like, you could do you could just donate blood and you have enough fucking data space to store all the information in the world 100 times over.
Yeah. Yeah, and you could store that in little, tiny, little storage containers, like, probably by the hundreds of millions in a shoebox. You know what I mean?
I think he said, like, how much data you could store in one cell, and it was, like, an insane amount.
Petabytes, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that is, it's like an insane amount of data.
Yeah. But, dude, I mean, think about it. Yeah, someone said sperm. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what if sperm is the digital book that we transplant into a woman's egg? You know what I mean? And that book is just reread, and they're reading the book, and it's just making a body.
That's basically what's happening.
Yeah, it's like 3D printing. Your body, you're a baby, but you're 3D printing inside of a womb. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I figured that out when I was high, and I was like, oh my God. Dude. I was like, what is in our bodies, dude? What is in our bodies? Why did they want the miracle medicine in our bodies? Right? Because they're pumping this shit at people. And it's like, what are they doing to our bodies? Are they trying to erase something? Or are they trying to taint something? So
well,
we can't
then
find
that
it?
Would that would lend me to think that if they have the technology to read code from your DNA and implement code and download it and then bring it onto a computer, then they would be able to take what you have now already, and then you could read off everything the human body is capable of. Like, everything in the body has a specific purpose for a reason. Now you can, like, literally read like a textbook.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What every purpose for every little thing is.
But what if it's not just about your body? What if it's about ancient history? And there's knowledge in there about various things that you could do? Because, like, the ebook that he put into the DNA, it wasn't just about the human body.
Well,
it was about information of whatever he wanted it to be.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if people had certain powers in ancient times, and we were like had mind powers and we could do things like in the movies, like wizards were an actual fucking thing that would be documented in our DNA somewhere.
And like, hey, if you want to unlock the mysteries of your mind, you just have to learn how to read your DNA,
you know,
you
just have to come in for however much money, and we can lay out a book of all the your life your whole ancestry history and everything anyone you've ever been a part of has been through.
Well, dude, you know what it got me thinking right away was 23andMe, like the DNA harvesting. Like, what if they're using people's DNA for storage, dude? Or they're trying to read who has what story, and they're, oh, dude, what if everybody's body has a different story?
I guarantee it does.
You know what I mean? And like
every lineage would have a different story. And it would
so,
just
like, the people that
the more generations a family has, the longer the story is.
Well,
because they just keep getting information.
Maybe.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. Because it would have to
because
be
because the
down,
previous
right?
genes would move on to the next genes, and then anything to do with that person would get imprinted into their DNA, and then it would just get passed on and passed on and passed on.
Maybe that's why, like, they still have King Charles and all this shit. Maybe there's something in their blood where they're like,
what
dude, yeah, we
maybe what people that have like memories of past lives, what if it's actual fucking memories? What if it's actual, like they have it in their body and it's giving them premonitions of lives of not necessarily their life before, but down their fucking family line, that story is encoded into your DNA. So you're getting a visual of it because it's in your body.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what Terrence Howard was saying.
That's he was like crazy.
Terrence Howard said that he remembers being in the fucking womb.
Yeah, that's weird, like, right?
I don't know if I believe it, but whatever. I mean,
that technology could be fucking crazy.
Well, yeah, it would be. That would change. I mean, then you'd be like, okay, so who put that stuff in us?
Yeah, like you'd be able to go all the way back to the beginning, right?
Yeah, but you don't know who put it there unless they signed
it. Unless they gave us, like, hey, first human signature, God.
Yeah. Nice talking to you, G-O-D. I don't know.
It's going to be cool to see where, like, that technology goes and what it gets used for.
Yeah. Yeah, and like that is the exciting part about AI is that I think it will reveal a lot of secrets, or it will help. It'll be a helpful tool to explore things that we've never been able to kind of explore with our brains because it's just so incomprehensible at sometimes. So I don't know. It was a crazy story. We'll see if they find anything more about Jesus because I mean now we know he's turned clay into living birds.
Yeah,
so.
that's a I don't know what to think of that. Obviously that's a story that already existed, obviously. But I don't know what to make how significant that letter actually is.
Dude, I don't know. They could be making up this whole fucking thing too. And that's why I wanted to see what the computer said, you know? Cause it's like you kind of have to reveal the evidence, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of
Maybe they have.
Speaking of evidence, the Pentagon just released some new shit about UFOs.
Exactly. Yes. So this was an interesting title. I haven't really read through the exact article, but they identified a, quote, hairy UFO that crashed in North Carolina. And this was like 7 minutes that they encountered this blue glowing UFO, whatever. They said that it emitted enough energy to power a small city.
Yeah. Which, how
and you
do
know
they...
what this made me think of?
What?
Like right away was the guy we had on the show, pardon my American, a long time ago, the Google whistleblower, whatever, Zach Voorhees,
yeah.
Where he was saying, yeah, they have like these things where they have cold fusion, where you can have like a little battery pack the size, like smaller than a cell phone, and it could power a small city like this.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm going, what?
My question would be, like, if they just seen this thing and got a 7 minute video of it, how do they know it had enough power to power a small city?
Well, so that goes down into, like, way down into the article where they have this thing called an oscillator or an oscilloscope.
Oscilloscope, I think it was called, yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like the Newman resonance or whatever the hell it is, the Schumann resonance, where you measure the energy of the Earth. This thing tracks voltages, frequency, distortion, and other electrical behavior. And yeah, you can see like a series of spikes and all this different things, different wavelength type looking things.
Yeah, and somehow when they seen this thing and recorded it, they also had all these gadgets.
Right? They just, yeah, reluctantly had this thing. Oh, yeah, look. We had our oscilloscope
going. I got this
going.
Fucking oscilloscope in the truck. We need to get that out.
Yeah, right? But they were saying, so this guy had this, and, you know, it's Powell and Leach. This was the names of the people. This was a UFO case that was produced in 2015 and 2016, the civilian group, the Mutual UFO Network. The oscilloscope post-process of the video matched the rhythm of the UFO light show. So
okay, so they didn't have this. They ran the video through these machines later.
I believe so.
And then it picked up a resonance that was left behind.
Yeah, they're saying that the oscilloscope processing of the video revealed that the interference matched the rhythm of the UFO's light show, according to Powell and Leach's report on the UFO case. And it says what looked just like white noise on the videotape actually showed a perfect pulsation function. That's actually the name of my boner. The perfect pulsation function, okay? So I get lucky with the ladies sometimes with my
perfect pulsation function.
Oh, yeah. The double PF, baby.
PPF.
But it says this hidden perfect pulse revealed by the scope was timed to the revolution of the lights on the UFO and repeated at the same speed, roughly 1 second intervals.
Okay. So basically the lights were rotating, right? And then every time they would come by, it'd go vroom, 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 vroom. And then it would just, that was what they were picking up and was able to measure.
You know, I don't know. I don't know that much about this shit, but it's like an electronic signature, whatever, right? And so you have like the defense contractor in on this stuff.
Yeah, it says such as a giant AC motor would produce a magnetic field. It would disrupt nearby electronics in a similar way.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just... It's just proof that it existed, not necessarily like they got a video and they ran it through this and it was able to pick up the disruption from electronics and not people wouldn't be able to say this is a fake video. No, because look, we were able to pick up this electronic disturbance at the same time that it was doing its rotation thing.
Yeah. Well, and then also this is saying, like, according to a defense contractor witness, and, like, hello, I mean, we just have this witness. He can't really tell you his name, but he's a defense contractor. Mm. Okay. So they're testing weapons of some sort, maybe. The pattern was what would be expected if the indigo plasma outside of the UFO was behaving like a very large version of a normal alternating current AC motor. And he says, I believe this to be a polyphasing of two immense high-frequency AC fields polarized differently. And then you can see, like, the graph where you just see, like, a bunch of spikes, like, very thin spikes. That's what he's saying. Where it's just, like, on, off, on, off, on, off, 1 second, every 1 second.
And he's saying that's what was making it fly?
Well, no. So he was saying, unquestionably, this craft was the highest power density vehicle I've ever imagined. And he was saying that the aircraft was calculated to be approximately the surface area of 3.1 million square inches, which is an odd way to measure.
Why would you measure it like that?
Yeah. 3.1 million square inches. Like, come on, dude. Just say it's like, you know, half a mile, you know, maybe a quarter mile distance.
He just wanted to make it sound really big.
Well, it sounds huge. But it has a minimum
of... That's like when you measure your dick. Instead of saying, I got a 4-inch dick, say, I got a 30-centimeter fucking...
Dude, I'm going to do that from now on. Like, you just guys want to mess
bigger,
with this?
It's like the measurement's smaller, but the number's bigger. That's what matters.
Yeah. You guys you want 300,000 millimeters inside you right now? Oh, boy. You know what I mean? Just go down to the smallest increment of measure. Oh, you want to feel my pulsating perfection?
God dang it.
Yeah, so this craft that was 3.1 million square inches produced a minimum of 160 million watts of power. And supposedly it surrounded the craft in this plasma. The amount of power is 33% of the 478 million watt nuclear plant in Fort Calhoun, Nebraska, he said.
So it's 33% of a nuclear power plant.
Yeah. And why 33%? That's weird. You know, I'm just throwing that out there. That's a weird number. Why not 32%? I don't know. But
it says unquestionably, this craft was the highest power density vehicle I've ever even imagined.
Yes. Well, so there was a Pentagon engineering contractor. He was like the defense contractor who saw this. They reported capturing this electronic evidence of the 170 foot. I guess that's 3.1 million
square inches.
But they said it's a barbell shaped that glowed an indigo blue.
Hmm. Yeah, and you can see this thing is like the digital representation, this thing here.
It looks like a contact lens carrier, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Like a contact case, like something you'd put your contacts in?
Huh, that's weird.
Left eye, right eye, and all that stuff. Yeah, I love the computer animated.
Yeah, like just, we were on this road, but this is what it really looked like.
This is about the size right there, that little contact case right there, you know?
Like, and why...
It was
like,
a coherent light.
This doesn't even match any shape ever seen before.
Well, it kind of matches the Tic Tac a little bit. If it was... listen to this, though. What if this is moving slow in the Tic Tac, when they saw the Tic Tac? It was moving so fast that it looked like one solid Tic Tac shape.
Oh, maybe.
If you slow it down, you actually can get to that, the separation there. It looks like a contact case.
Hmm.
You know? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know what to believe of this, because why not just have the fucking actual video?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to come out with this and say, hey, we have this. We measured the resonance from this video we caught from a 7-minute video of this UFO. Why not just have the video also? Like, hey, look at these things. This is how we proved that it wasn't fake. And here's the video. You can watch it.
Yeah, exactly. All they have is they do have a video of the whistleblower. He's like all shadowed out. But it's a 46-minute video, and he's kind of just describing what he's seeing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if they have... Well, down here it says the UFO investigator told DailyMail.com that he is still in contact with the witness and, quote, prodding him every once in a while to get a raw copy of the video. So the guy that's seen it and recorded it has the video and won't give it to anybody.
Oh, okay.
But why not?
I mean, wasn't it, it says the U.S. Department of Defense contractor's tantalizing encounter with a giant. So this was an engineer who worked at the Pentagon, and because there was three witnesses. The Pentagon engineer, and then there was like two other dudes, right? Because mm-hmm. the other dudes were on the trio had camped for a hunting trip. This was in August 2013 near Ontario, Canada.
Mm.
That's where it was spotted. So what's weird about all this stuff is it's all being released by the Defense Department. You know what I mean? Like every single thing is being leaked out story by story from our defense contractors. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, it makes sense in a way that you'd go, well, of course it would be, because they are the people who would know about it. Like, you know, government entities working with defense contractors saying like, hey, you know, if you were like the CIA or something and you saw this craft, you'd go to like Lockheed and Martin and be like, can you build this? Or have you seen anything built like this? You know what I mean?
Well, there's nothing saying that it's like, it's that all they say is defense contractor, but that could be anyone that works for that defense contractor. That doesn't mean it's the high up fucking people going, we need to release this because we got some plans. We need to get going here. It could be someone that works there and going, people need to see this shit.
Yeah. But it's like, it's always just with someone with the government. You know what I mean? Which, to me, you can go both ways. Because we've discussed this. It's like, well, at what point, who are you going to believe? Because it's like, you have random people. I personally believe random people. And especially if you have a conglomerate of random people. Yeah. You know, of all different kind of professions, you know? Like the Arizona Lights, for example, when you had this massive football field like craft that just went over a town in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and you had like doctors, police officers, nurses, everybody of all different ilk kind of saying, yeah, we saw the same thing. You know, that is believable.
Yeah. And I would like to know, like, the guy that recorded this, is he part of, was he part of the defense contractor, the guy that recorded the video? Or they just have this stuff from him, but he won't give it to anybody else?
I don't, it's saying, like, DailyMail.com spoke with the case's first investigators who shared the electronic data from the contractor's attempt to film the object, showing white noise, pulses in the video that recur in 1 second loops, identical with the strobing light of the UFO itself. The captured data of the event, the witness reported, may be the first real physical proof, not just of a flying craft, but that it flies by virtue of an incredibly complex and powerful spinning electromagnetic propulsion system.
So it was the contractor that recorded the video.
Yeah. Hmm. Yep. And then Daily Mail got a hold of Robert Powell, who's a UFO investigator. They're asking, like, have you seen any, like, barbell-shaped UFOs before like this one? And he's like, no, we haven't seen this. This is rare. But I don't know, dude. It's just, so it says Powell, so this was, wait. Yeah, Robert Powell, the UFO investigator, whose new book on UFOs has garnered praise from former Defense Department intelligence official Chris Mellon, personally visited the contractor's lab and worked with him on analyzing the eerie interference of his UFO video. So you had this UFO researcher go to the Defense Department and worked on this with that guy, right?
Hmm.
So I don't know. I just, like, at what point, where does this all lead? You know, because we talked about disclosure, having UFO disclosure, aliens, all this stuff.
Well, I guess the recording of the resonance and all that shit would prove the, I guess they, because of that, they know what its propulsion system is, right? That's what they just said.
Mm-hmm.
Electromagnetic propulsion system. Yep. So now, oh, that's what they're using. Now we can make that.
Well, and that's what Billy Carson was talking about too on Joe Rogan, about how you can essentially make something weightless.
Oh yeah,
make it zero, but by using magnetism and electricity, electromagnetism,
yeah,
you can make
there
something.
He said there was some story in some ancient book or something saying that they had flying cities.
Yeah, dude, and they had wars.
Yeah.
They have wars
in the sky, and they're fighting in their city. They're flying cities.
That is nuts, dude. I mean, like, a lot of what he was saying, I was like, this is, like, fantastical. I would love to believe it, but, you know, we got to get a little bit of proof
but,
here.
But, I mean, if you have mastered the electromagnetic fields and frequencies, then and you could make things virtually weightless, it wouldn't mm-hmm. take much to make them fly.
Well, and what if that's how you get to different dimensions, dude? Like, you know, the magnetic, because we're all kind of magnetic, we're vibrating particles.
Yeah, but the human body itself has a magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you manipulate that somehow. You're going to, I feel like you would, some shit's going to happen probably.
Did you hear that Billy Carson? Well, did you watch any of that Billy Carson thing? Did you listen to the whole thing?
Yeah, I watched the whole episode, yeah.
Did you remember when he said we have the ability to teleport, but
yes,
you'd
but
have
you
to die? Yeah, it's like you'd have to physically die, but then your consciousness or whatever would be born again wherever you transport to. I'm like,
yeah,
who wants to fucking
said
do that?
Your consciousness is transported, and you're basically your body is rebuilt and. And it's new at that point.
It's like Altered Carbon, dude.
Yeah.
That TV show.
I don't.
Would you do that? Like if you were old and frail and you were getting ready to die?
Well, I don't know. It's just building a carbon copy of what you already were. So it's not like you're getting younger. But
they wouldn't give you a new body.
But if you could do that in the first place, why wouldn't you rebuild the same body you have without all the defects?
Exactly, right?
So you could just continuously fucking teleport and just get healthier and healthier every time.
Well, it's like what they were saying with the, like, what technologies do the deep state have to live to 100 every day, you know, all these times?
Yeah, I
don't know.
That was a weird thing.
Every president lives to be 100, right?
Almost. Yeah.
Damn near close.
That was a weird thing he said, though. And he didn't really go into it after that. He said, yeah, you can teleport, but you're going to die, and then you're reborn. And then it was over.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait a second.
Because I don't think he really knows. I think he was like, because it's been proven that we could transport a particle.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's only a matter of time before they can transport a living thing. But it kind of makes sense that you would have to kind of disintegrate and die. But as far as your consciousness goes, like, I don't know if you'd feel the pain. I don't know if you'd like they'd knock you out, transport your consciousness through like a tube.
Yeah,
through,
I don't know.
Like,
if your body disintegrates while you're being teleported, do you feel that?
Yeah.
Is it like,
or like, can I just be passed out or something? You know what I mean?
Is teleportation going to be like extremely painful?
Yeah.
Like,
well, because like Joe Rogan was like, who's going to be the first motherfucker to try that? You know what I mean?
Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I would or not.
Yeah, I don't
I
know.
Definitely I wouldn't do it if it was a new thing.
Well, before we get out of here, dude, you had a video saved by Concerned Citizen on X.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of this. He says this alleged unedited clip of a mysterious creature tending to its prey in Mexico. So here we are in Mexico again. We like these fucking chupacabra farmers down there in Mexico catching weird animals again.
I got some bad dirt. You got a goat down here.
Is this going to be another one of those things where his farm's dead and now he has to like fucking come up with this thing to get people all out there?
Yeah. This thing almost killed me. Come on.
This is
a
video and it looks like someone's just driving down an old road and shines headlights onto this thing. But there's like a human laying in the road and then there's this like black mass over the top of him. I'm not sure what it's doing. You can't really tell even what it is.
So sucking his soul.
I'll play it for you real quick. Yeah, they just pull up on this thing.
Looks like venom.
I don't know if that's like a person.
No, mommy, baby.
Looks like a gigantic bat.
Yeah, kind of. Huh?
Mommy, it's chupacabra, dude.
Cabrón. No, cabrón.
No. Mira. Ay, Dios mío.
I mean, it's so blurry.
Yeah.
You
can't tell what it is at all.
No te pases de lanza.
But it is... I'm going to mute this because they're being annoying. It is making a shadow behind it from the light.
Yep.
So, and I can't... does that look like a guy, like a person to you?
I mean, somebody in, like down on the ground?
Yeah.
That's definitely a human.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's a female.
Whatever the thing is, it almost seems like it's kind of translucent.
Yeah. Shimmery.
Yeah.
Like twilight, you know what I mean?
I'm not sure what to make of this.
What are the comments saying? Oh, I love the first comment, dude. You should read it.
The first
by
comment.
By Michael Goulish. You see it? Hold that on. Is a well-known cryptid called Clickbaitosaurus. I love that.
Why are these videos always recorded with a potato?
Oh boy, yeah, I know, right? Where's the potato?
Yeah, I don't know.
So there's a bunch of people kind of like making fun of it, saying it's his wife.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That looks like some kind of like soul alien thing that you would see in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Somebody did link the original video. It says, here's the original video, plus it's a channel filled with weird videos, so I doubt this is real, but yeah, it's poorly edited, acted, host, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know, dude.
You never know.
I want to believe, but then again, it's like, you know, with AI, with all this shit, people do shit for clicks, dude. If we didn't want to have popularity and we didn't want to have clickbait, it would be a better world. You know what I mean? Because then you'd be like, oh, yes, I do believe this. This is real. Like, why would you post something if it wasn't real?
That's,
you know, like that one Ricky Gervais movie where no one lied except for him.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, why even post a video like that and then not say, "Oh, this is what it is," or what you think it is? It's just a random fucking video. It's not even someone posting a video and goes, "Guys, look what I caught! Oh my god, this is so crazy! I think this is this." It's just a video.
And I'm going to go to the YouTube here, and I'm reading. Oh boy, there's a lot of Spanish. Oh, I could translate to English. the first comment, like if you also came here to waste your time. that's a person in a costume. We can see the shoes. Oh, can you see the shoes?
What?
I don't know. I don't know, dude. But yeah, I'm calling bullshit on this. I don't think this is anything real. But it definitely, you know, because Ashley... You know, patron Ashley, who said she's going to call in with something juicy on Friday. I don't know. She didn't say it was juicy, but hey, I bet you it will be. I did a Strange Sauna episode with her.
Yeah.
Shout out Ashley. And she was talking about seeing kind of shadow people, you know what I mean, during sleep paralysis. So anything is possible.
Yeah, I'm thinking this video might be fake because I'm on the video too and I'm kind of scrolling through it. And like, it just... It shows a guy running back to the... At the very beginning, he runs, like, his shirt's undone, and he's running back to the truck or whatever. And then all of a sudden, it cuts to just a scene of that thing in the road.
Oh, boy.
Look at this. Just that
what if it's
just,
Hunter Biden,
that
dude?
That thing's just there in the road, and it kind of just looks like a bat, a giant fucking bat.
Oh, boy.
And then it does that. It does that for a little while.
It's somebody. Yeah, you can see his shoes. Look at. See the soles of his shoes?
Oh.
Oh, what?
It's like turning into a person.
Or it's just a dude in a costume. He just lifted it up and showed you his belly.
It's Venom.
Yeah, dude. Took over his body.
It's Venom. He's trying to escape him. Oh.
I keep saying, I think that might be Hunter Biden. He's trying to escape his 25 years in prison, so I don't know. Probably doing something down there. Who knows?
Who knows? There's all kinds of crazy shit going on.
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, yeah, I mean, good show, Chris.
Yeah, it was fun.
I miss Dave. Hopefully he's on here on Friday. I think he said he'll make it on
Friday. Yeah, he said he doesn't work Friday, so Friday he'll be here for the call-in show.
Mm. Yes, indeedy. And in the words of Banielson in the chat, don't forget to tickle the like button, okay?
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for all the comments in here. Ashley Halburn, thank you again for that super chat. If you guys aren't on Patreon, get over there. Colin Show Friday. Once a month, we do the Zoom still. That's a lot of fun. And we'll see you guys next week.
Hallelujah.
Later.
Nighty night.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.